We thank God for Father Dan and Debbie. I think you have all followed them on Facebook. I saw them saying they are doing fine. Technology is so good, and God is so faithful. He's taking care of them. We are praying that God will give them a wonderful trip there and an opportunity to minister. You can say they say that the hearts of those people are very receptive. They are happy, and we thank God for them. We also thank God for you availing yourself to come this morning. I know the Lord gathers his people with a purpose. The Bible says where two or three are gathered in his name, there he is in their midst. When I was told to come and share, I started seeking the Lord on what we need to share, and the message that kept coming to me was, winners do not quit. Those who have ever won do not quit. Those who know more about sports, you know, those people who compete either in learning, I know running because many Kenyans are known because of being learners. Those who have been champions are those who have never quit in training for what they were called to do. And just because we are also called to serve the Lord, we compare ourselves just as Paul did, to compare ourselves as if we are in a race. And because this is a race, that is why I saw this a good topic to talk about, why those who do not quit declare themselves to be winners. And I was thinking about a man of God in the Bible who did not quit, even though before he took over what he was called to do, he was told to serve under somebody. And I was looking at how many people have absconded or have gone away from the calling just because they don't want to be under the authority of somebody else. And I saw it is also good for us to have spiritual fathers as we walk in this race. If we want to be winners, we need to be trained on what we are to compete into. As I was looking at the story of Elisha and Elijah, I realized that Elisha had a heart of a servant in the first place. When we find him being called by God, he was in the field prowling, and we can find his story in the book of 1 Kings, chapter 19, and verses 19 to 21, and I just want us to read those two verses first of all. Chapter 19, verses 19, 1 Kings, the Bible says, "So Elijah went from there and found Elisha, son of Shaphat. He was prowling with 12 yokes of oxen, and he himself was driving the 12th pair. Elijah went up to him and threw his cloak around him. Elisha left his oxen and ran to Elijah. 'Let me kiss my father and mother goodbye,' he said, 'and I will come with you.' 'Go back,' Elijah replied. 'What have I done to you?' So Elisha left him and went back. He took his yoke of oxen and slaughtered them. He burned the growing equipment to cook the meat and give it to the people, and they ate. Then he set out to follow Elijah and became his attendant." So the Bible says he allowed himself to leave all that he was doing to follow the man of God and become an attendant. And as we have heard this story so many times, you can see the work of an attendant is not work that many people would want to do. Because being an attendant, you are the one who wants to do the manual part of it. And not many people want to do the manual part of the job, because the manual part of the job is always difficult. But we have just read that Elisha did not despise that humble beginning. And he agreed to leave what he was doing. And we have seen that when he left what he was doing, he went and offered his property. I think that was the other property he had at that time. We are not told anything about other possessions he had. He went and did away with all his other possession and his job, and he followed the man of God to become an attendant. The Bible says that from when he started following him, he did not look back. There are places that they went with Elijah, And Elijah was telling Elisha every time, the Lord has sent me to go to a particular place. And the Bible says that Elijah, when he was going, Elisha was with him every place. We first find from him starting going with him, Elijah told Elisha that the Lord had sent him to Gilgal. And he followed him to Gilgal. And all the places that Elijah and Elisha were going were places with a lot of significance in the Bible. Gilgal, those of you who have studied the Bible, it was the place of the first encounter of the Israelites when they moved from Egypt. It was a place to commemorate the passage to Jordan. And it was also the same place in Gilgal that manna ceased to come from heaven to the children of Israel when they were in the desert. So it was a place of significance in the Bible. And Elijah told Elisha that the Lord has sent him there. It was also the place where I think the Israelites were being circumcised so that they could be acceptable into the sight of God. So it was a place of significance. And the Bible does not tell us what in particular they were going to do in Gilgal, but I think there were also a school of prophets there. So there was teaching that Elisha was to be taught by Elijah in Gilgal. It was not an easy experience. It was a hard task for Elisha to always follow this man of God to every place that he was being told to go. Then from Gilgal, the Bible tells us, Elijah told Elisha that the Lord has sent him to Bethel. And those of you who do remember, Bethel was also a very significant place in the Bible because it was the first place where Abraham, their father, had built an altar unto the Lord. It was a place that was named as the house of God. And it was a place that they were to know the things of God. And there was also a school of the prophets there. What amazes me is, in the school of the prophets, the sons of the prophets who were there in the school, they knew that Elijah would be taken. And they would tell Elisha, do you know that our master is going to be taken away from you? It was not even clear to them where he would be taken when he's taken away from them. I think they were thinking he would go to the next place, into the school of the prophets. And Elisha told them, yes, I know, but keep quiet about it. He did not want them to talk much about. From Bethel, again, they went to Jericho. Jericho, you know, was a very significant city in the walks of the Israelites. Even in the Christian circles, it was a very significant place because even Jesus Christ had a ministry there too. And they went to Jericho too. And it was called a place of the palm trees. You can remember very well in the church calendar sometimes, the Palm Sunday, there's the palm trees that we take. There were the ones that were swinging when Jesus was getting into Jericho. People waved all the palms, and that is, it was called a palm place. And so they went there. And also again, the sons of the prophets told him, do you know that the master is going to be taken away today? And he said, yes, I know, but don't talk about it. You can see, when he asked Elijah of the anointing, he knew that there is something special in this man of God many of the sons of the prophets didn't know. He went on, he continued, because he was persevering, he was pursuing something from this man of God. So wherever he was told to go, he followed him. The Bible says every moment, and you can imagine following somebody because you want something from him. You want the double anointing from him. Everywhere he went, he would go with them. And I think even when he would go to the bathroom, he would still be there. Because he don't want him to be taken away when he was not seeing it. And so he followed this man of God, being an attendant. And maybe he could be told, go this, get this, get this. And he obeyed. And the Bible says that he went again with him to Jericho. From Jericho, they went to the Jordan, a significant place. It was the same place where Jesus was baptized. A significant river. They went with the man of God. And when they got to the banks of the river, the man of God, Elijah, took his cloak and hid the water. And there was a road. And you can see there was a road again for them to go to the other side. They went with him. And when they got to the other side, the sons of the prophets, they were watching from a distance. They were not following this man of God because they never knew what was in him. But Elisha knew that there was something special that was in this man of God. And he asked him, "What do you want from me?" And he said, "I need a double portion of your anointing." You can imagine that. Asking a double portion of the anointing of the man of God. In the context, in the Israelite context, this double portion of any inheritance was not just given to servants. It was given to the first sons of the particular man. And here was Elisha asking Elijah for a double portion of his anointing. And because of his faithfulness, because of attending to him all this time, following him wherever he went, from the time that he was called, being faithful to the man of God, there was nothing that could debar him from getting what he had requested from the man of God. Being an attendant to him, being faithful to his service, he asked for a double anointing of his anointing. And he had promised him, "When you will see me go, you will receive what you have asked for." And because he had stayed with this man of God for a while, Elijah had known the heart of Elisha. If you read the story of Elijah, Elijah was not just a prophet. Yeah? He was a person with a lot of power. He was a person who had a good relationship with God. If you further read about him, there was a time that the king had tried to mock him and he went up into a mountain. And he sent 50 men with a captain of the army, and they went to mock him, "Man of God, come down." And the first man, he said, "If I am a man of God, I call fire from heaven to come and consume you." And with those words, it happened. Fire came down from heaven and consumed the captain and his 50 men. The second one came and again mocked the man of God. "Man of God, come down." Yeah? And because they were fearing, they were military men and powerful, he said, "If I am a man of God, let fire from heaven come down and consume you." And it happened the same. Then a third one was sent by the king. And because he was a humble captain, he came and bowed before the man of God and prayed, "I pray, don't finish me and these other 50 men, just as what has happened to the previous man. Maybe I see it. I humble myself, man of God." And the angel of the Lord told Elisha, "Go down with this man." And he went down with him, and he was not consumed. So what I was saying, that he was a man who would even perform miracles. He performed miracles, called fire from heaven and came down. And so when they got to Jordan, a whirl of wind came and took him. And as he was going up, Elisha called. And he remembered, he had assured him that, "Well, if you see me go, whatever you have asked for will be given unto you." The Bible says he took his cloak and threw it to Elisha. Mind you, the sons of the prophets by the other side were seeing all this. When the cloak came down, Elisha took it, he hit the water, and there was a road. The last miracle of Elijah became the first miracle of Elisha, his attendant. And the double anointing of the man of God ascended on him. And he knew, Elisha knew, that his master has gone to be with the Lord, has been taken to heaven. Those other sons of the prophets who are watching by, they realized something has happened. The attendant now becomes the senior prophet because of his faithfulness, because of being attendant, because of wanting to have a spiritual father. He inherited on what he had asked for. And you can agree with me that many things from the first miracle that he did on the River Jordan, he did many exploits. because of being faithful, of being a good attendant, of being a persistent man, of wanting to be a winner. He didn't want to quit. Many people have quitted on the way. Maybe he could have been discouraged on the way when he was attending to the man of God, whether in Gilgal, whether in Bethel, whether in Jericho, even near the Jordan. He could just have stayed like the other sons of the prophet, following from a distance. But he didn't want that. He went with the man of God wherever he went. I don't want us to take this out of our mind, that all this time he was being an attendant. He was attending to the things that the man of God was being sent to do. Each one of us, we have been called in our different ministries. But why we have never come to our potential is because we become discouraged on the way. We hear the sons of the prophets asking us, do you know whether our missions will be accomplished? And we tend to listen to the worldly voices. We tend to look at the possibilities because of our finances. Just like if Elisha was a prophet of today, he would have went to the marketplace and sold his oxen and his plows so that he can get money to go into the ministry. But he didn't do that. He went and took this to a band to offer them, gave others to the people to eat, and he went into the ministry without anything. He followed the man of God and became a man of hand to support him, to stand with him, to be his spiritual father. How many today? Many people do not want an authority over them. They just want to do things their way. But we never saw that this happened to Elisha. Elisha became an attendant. I'm emphasizing, we better become servants than masters in whatever we are doing. Even in our jobs, we might be senior people. I like the senior people who sometimes you see them, they go even to the toilets to clean. Yeah? They take out their seniority and do what is necessary, what needs to be done. They are servants, they are servants, they are more servants than masters. And many times, even in the secular world, those people who do that, God have always honored them. People who humble themselves are like God honors humble hearts. I see God honors people who wants to serve others in any areas that we are called into. Even when we are in our homes, there are people who wants to be served always. Yeah? They don't like to serve. But if we have a mind like the mind of Elisha, we will be winners in whatever we are doing. Because the Bible has just told us that Elisha, when he was called, first of all, he got into the mind like any of us. He told the man of God, let me first go and kiss goodbye to my people. But later on, he realized, I think there is something special with this man who had come to me and touched me with his cloak. He realized that there was something special in the calling that he was being called to. A more better position than what he was doing. If he refused to follow the man of God, I don't think we could have learned anything about Elisha. We could have learned that there was a man who was prowling and was called but didn't go. He went back to kiss goodbye to his people, and that would be the end of the story. But he realized, I have to follow the man of God and become an attendant so that what I am being called for can be accomplished. And many of us have been called. Many of us have heard voices of God telling us to do this. But sometimes we belittle ourselves and we tend to just stay on the same spot that we have been for so many years. But when we have a move, when we take the first move of faith and move on, God will be with us on the way. And by the end of the day, we will accomplish for the Lord more if we follow him than we could have if we didn't follow him. Many people, especially this time, things are not very well economically. And so many of us are worried. Yeah? Worried when you become late in your mortgage a month or two, you become worried your house is gonna go. But our life is in the hands of God. Sooner or later, if we stop the blame game and start seeking the face of the Lord, He will come back again. He will bring back us to our situations. And I don't want to say that it's bad to say what's going on. It is good to say that I am going through hard times. Yeah? There are people who are not easy to say the hard times that they are going. It's always good to say that I am going through tough times. It's good to pray, to be prayed over, the problems that we have, because it is only prayer that can change things. But if we abide more on looking unto the provider, who is the Lord, we will be more content as we walk in this journey. We will know that we are called to be winners. Yeah? And it is only those who do not quit, even in the walk with the Lord. If we do not quit, we will be rewarded, because there is a reward after this journey. If we quit, and I always say there are two places to go after this, as we always believe, there is hell and there is heaven. And when we come here, we are in pursuit of living a good life here, and again, living eternity with our Lord. So, it is good for us to continue with the race, because when all is said and done, we will be out of this world, and it would be better to be in heaven than be in hell, where there will be torment and cry all the years. So as we continue in this journey, as we continue pursuing that which we have been called, even if it is not clear right now, let us continue pursuing. Just as this man of God we have talked about, every moment, every time, he was there pursuing what he had been called for. And finally he got it. And he did exploits in his ministry because of persevering. And I don't mean it's not okay to come to a point where you ask yourself questions. Because it's good. That shows that you are thinking. You come to a position where you ask yourself, am I on the right track? Go back to the Bible in prayer and in fellowship with other believers. And there will be confirmation on the way. When we hear from the sons of the prophets asking us whether we are going to make it, we will just tell them like how Elijah was telling, just be quiet, let's wait. When Elijah was taken to heaven, the sons of the prophets whom we have heard were standing by the riverside, they didn't know where he had gone. And so they sent other companies out for 3 days in search of Elijah, because they thought he was in the mountains. But Elisha knew that this man of God has been taken and gone to heaven. But the others didn't know. In the same case, we who have known Jesus Christ, we have an assurance that he who is in Christ cannot be defeated. The journey will be tough. But if we abide and stick together with Jesus, he didn't leave us just like that. He left us with a helper, the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. We will be able to come out victorious. It's always good to go through pain, because suffering, pain, it's part of the deal. When we come out of them, we realize that there is joy after pain. There is joy after when all is said and done. We know that we have an assurance. So mine today is to continue encouraging ourselves in this journey, encouraging each other that let's not quit, let's continue. Sometimes it's so hard, and especially when you are building up something that does not seem to come up, you become tired, you become frustrated. But if you hang in there, don't quit, you will realize, I did not toil in vain. Just like when we are at our places of work, during the days that we are earning a paycheck, sometimes you even don't want to go to work. You feel these hours are so many. I don't want to work. But when you are going to check in your account direct deposit to see whether there is money, you find that there is money. You forget the toiling hours that you used to get tired and say, I want to go home and sleep. I want to call a sick off. I want to call off and say, I'm not going to work. But when you don't go to work, there will be no check. So when you sleep, you'll be disappointed during the pay period and say, oh, I wish I went to work. But when you work and you get a paycheck, when you persevere in the pains that you go through, when you come out of that pain, there is joy in the victory. When the victory comes, we forget the pain. When Elisha got the double anointing, I don't think the Bible talks again about his attendance to the man of God. It started another story of how he got a double anointing, the exploits he did, the many miracles that he performed. And the same case is getting into each one of us. When we are going through our journey, we will come to a point where we will realize that we have the joy of the Lord in us, because nothing will matter so much. Nothing will hinder us from following our Lord. Not pain, not diseases, not lack of finances can separate us from the love of God. And also taking care of God's people, just like the way that we had heard Elisha did. Elisha took care of the man of God. We might not be called to serve the prophets. We might just, something might be brought on our way where God wants us to minister before we come to the full potential of where he wants us to be. Most of the times, not sometimes, many of the times when God takes us to a place because he wants us to take where he wants us to be, sometimes it is very, very difficult. The situation that he puts us into, it is very difficult. It might be even in our own homes where something crops up, but it is just for a period that we are brought here to be tempted for a while. It may be our school of learning at a particular moment. It might come even to the children that we love. They come to a position where they become so much trouble and we think we are going to give up. I'm almost to give up. Then you realize it is up to the time that God will dwell with us to the position that he wants us to be, to realize that we are in the plan of God. We will feel accomplished of what he wants accomplished in our lives. So mine is to urge those of us who are here today, those who are listening, and those who will hear the message, let's not quit. Winners do not quit. God bless you and have a wonderful time. Amen.